in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Just lift up your voice and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1. It says, Son of man, stand upon your feet and I will speak to you. The word of the Lord came to prophet Ezekiel. It says, Son of man, stand upon your feet and I will speak to you. And Ezekiel said in verse 2, the Spirit entered into me. The Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. The Spirit entered into me. You are going to cry out to God. He said, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet. You are going to say, Father, as I receive and hear your word, let the Spirit of the word, the Spirit of truth, let it enter into me. I receive more than revelations. I receive more than illumination. I receive more than divine insight. I receive tangible impartations of the Spirit of God that will make me become what the world talks about, that will transport me into the experience of the world. Lift up your voice and talk to God. He said, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet. Makapatose bilakapatai. Ila brandeke posket ila brandakapata. Konde sepeletena randeke brandakapata. Zoborundeke palatiza. Let the Spirit of the word enter into me. Let it empower me to become what the word talks about. Keli borandeke brandeke parakatai. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we honor and reverence your presence in our midst. We declare that our hearts and minds are open to receive all that you have prepared for us in this prophetic feast of light and fat things. We declare that we receive divine enlightenment, divine illumination, divine insight. We receive divine instructions. We receive divine impartations of your Spirit that will lead to transformations of our lives and destiny and cause us to become what the world talks about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Who is as excited as I am about this very, very prophetic teaching series we are starting today for the month of September, our month of fresh oil, and God has given us a word? Who is as excited? If you are, you will rejoice, you will celebrate, you will show that excitement. Come on, shout glory! Do we have sons of oil in the house? And when we say sons of oil, is both male and female sons of oil. Both he and she sons of oil. If we have sons of oil in the house, they will rejoice, they will celebrate, they will rejoice, they will give the Lord a shout of praise. Give a shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. I'm telling you, this series will change your life. It will bless you beyond measure. Sons of oil. Aya, kobo sefele tenau. We are not ordinary. There is more to us than meets the eyes. Manda pora katiza brandeke palatia. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 14. Where we got that word from? Zechariah 4 verse 14. Sons of oil. Glory to God. Then said he. Now, if you want to understand it in context, we'll have to start reading from verse 1. It was a vision that the Lord revealed to who? Who did the Lord reveal that vision to? The Lord showed a vision, actually. Okay, let's pick it from verse 1 so that you get it in context. Zechariah 4. Verse 1, praise God. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me. He was asleep, as a man that is waking out of sleep. So it looks more like a trance. Praise God. Next verse, verse 2. You know, angels can wake people up. Have you ever been waking up by an angel before? Angel can wake you up to pray. Yes, they can wake you up to pray. You just feel a tap sometimes. Sometimes they can tap you. You wake up, you will not see anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick. That's a lampstand, actually. All of gold. That's a golden candlestick or a golden lampstand. That is the Jewish menorah, what we call the menorah. Okay, later I will show you the picture, with a bowl upon the top of it. So it has a bowl on top and is seven lamps. So there are seven lamps on the seven lampstand or the candlestick, the menorah. Praise God. They all mean the same thing. Okay, King James uses candlestick. If you check some other translation, they use lampstand. He said a bowl is on top of it and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Next verse. And two olive trees by it. Hallelujah. Two olive trees. Later you will see the meaning of the olive trees. And upon the right side of the bowl, so one is on the right, the other one is on what? The left side thereof. Next verse. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? You see, it's one thing to see a vision from God. It's another thing to understand the meaning. So prophet Zechariah saw this wonderful vision that the angel of the Lord showed him, but he didn't understand the meaning. He now asked, he said, what does this mean, my Lord? Next verse. So the interpretation matters. Sometimes people see genuine vision from God, but they give it a wrong interpretation. You know, interpretation of a vision can be colored by people's mindset, can be colored by people's level of spiritual growth and maturity, can be colored by people's understanding of God's word. So many things can color interpretation of vision. The vision is correct that they saw, but now the problem is the interpretation. But thank God, Zechariah gave the right interpretation. He said he got the right interpretation from that angel. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Okay? So even the angel is surprised that he does not know. He's expecting that he's supposed to know. Next verse. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. In other words, it was a message God gave him, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, that is being presented in this visionary form. Am I communicating? In form of this vision. So the vision he saw of the menorah and the two olive trees by the left and the side was actually a message God was passing. Said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. Am I communicating? He was a leader. He's a ruler. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Say, not by might. Not by might. That's talking of human might. Human ability. Human capacity. As in the might that comes from either numbers, as a number of people, numerical strength, or military strength, or even financial strength. Am I communicating? He said, this project will not be accomplished by human might. He said, regardless of your numerical strength, regardless of your military might, regardless of your financial capacity, he said, it's not by that. Not by might, not by power. It's not by human strength. Okay? But by my spirit. The spirit of God is being represented by that seven candlestick or lampstand with those seven bowls on the top of it. Am I communicating? That's the menorah is representing the seven spirits of God. How many of you remember when I taught on the seven spirits of God? There was a series we did by my spirit. You know, you can listen to that message again. You know, the Bible talks, Isaiah 11 talked about the seven spirits of God. Now, when the Bible says the seven spirits of God, it doesn't mean there are seven different Holy Spirits. No. It's one and the same Holy Spirit, but is manifesting himself in this seven dimension. Now, when you have all those seven dimensions operating in your life, we call it the fullness of the Spirit. And that's the will of God. God wants you to function in his fullness, not just one or two. Fullness, praise God. So that seven, if you see the, okay, can you give us that picture of the menorah? If you see the picture of the seven candlestick or seven lampstand, what we call the menorah, it is made from the same material. It's gold, pure gold. And gold is a symbol of divinity. Am I communicating? It's made of the same material, okay? It's beaten, same material beaten into this form, okay? If you count it, one, they are in pairs like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and what? Understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You see? Seven. So this was what Prophet Zechariah saw. And it was a message. He said, go and tell Zerubbabel that this project is not going to be performed by human might or power, but by my spirit. The spirit is being symbolized by this seven golden candlestick. Hallelujah. You see, when you learn to do things by the anointing of the spirit, you don't struggle. Struggling is a sign that you are trying to do it in your power. You will see later, the anointing gives you supernatural ability. Supernatural ability beyond your normal human capacity, human might. The anointing is a divine enabler, is a divine energizer. The Holy Spirit gives you the wisdom and power to do things that are naturally human, as in
things that are naturally or humanly impossible. To do things that are naturally possible, you don't need the anointing. You don't even need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Spirit to do things that are ordinary, things that are naturally possible. You don't need Him. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need His power. You don't need His wisdom to do things that are naturally possible, humanly possible. You don't need, you use your human ability to do it. But when it comes to things that are humanly impossible, now you are talking. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables you to supernaturally do things and accomplish things that are humanly impossible. So it produces extraordinary results. When you partner with the Holy Ghost, and when you take advantage of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it empowers you to do exploits. You produce supernatural results that defy human explanation. Am I communicating? Results that stagger human imagination. Mind-blowing results. He said, not by human might. Let's go back to our reading. Not by power. Human might is limited. Human power is limited. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and His power, they are unlimited. Am I communicating? They are unlimited. They empowers you to do the impossible. That which is humanly impossible. He said, by my Spirit. You learn to do things by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God. The help of the Holy Spirit is a game changer. Am I communicating? It's the anointing that makes the difference. It's what makes the difference. It's a mark of distinction. It's a mark of distinction. It's what distinguishes you from others. Am I communicating? Okay, let's complete this reading. My spirit said the Lord. Verse 7. Is it, who art thou, O great mountain? So mountain represents oppositions, obstacles, problems, challenges, confronting Zerubbabel that is undertaking the project. Okay? Zerubbabel is undertaking a building project, but he's being confronted by a great mountain. Am I communicating? It may be financial difficulty, no enough funds. It may be enemies rising up against him. It may, the challenge can come in any form. The Bible calls it, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel. He said, thou shalt become a plain. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to help Zerubbabel and help him with the anointing. And the anointing of the Spirit will level every mountain. Mountains cannot survive the anointing. Am I communicating? The anointing is a mountain crusher. The power of the Spirit will crush every mountain of difficulty, every mountain of sickness, mountain of disease, mountain of failure, mountain of lack, mountain of poverty, mountain of stagnation, mountain of yokes, all manner. The anointing will crush every mountain. It will become a molehill. It makes you unstoppable. The anointing makes you unstoppable. It will break every limitation. It will break and smash to pieces every barrier. It will shatter obstacles. Am I communicating? It will break even prison house. Even if they put you in a prison, the anointing will bring you out. It will shatter the prison. Am I communicating? You can't be restricted. You cannot see, the anointing will remove every form of restriction every form of barrier, every form of limitation in and around your life. It is the solution to every mountain. He said, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain." And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Grace, grace unto it. Next verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. I told you he was doing a building project. He said, his hands have laid the foundation. His hands shall also finish it. Hallelujah. The anointing empowers you to finish what you started. Every project you started. You know, people, there are people that start project and then because of mountains of challenges, problems and all of that, it may be financial difficulty or maybe court cases or enemy opposition, they abandon the project. But the anointing will empower you supernaturally to complete every abandoned project. Whatever you started but you could not finish, the anointing will empower you to finish it. It is called the finisher's grace. His hands have laid the foundation. His hands shall also finish it. So thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Hallelujah. Next verse. Verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things, never despise the days of little beginning. He said, for they shall rejoice. They shall rejoice. Watch this. And shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord. Those seven lampstand, he said, they are the eyes of the Lord, the seven spirits of God, which run to and fro the whole earth. And he said, they shall rejoice. Maleko bosaka pata lebrandaska pakatia. You see, the Spirit of God can recognize greatness in smallness. It's human beings that wait for you to get to certain level before they respect and honor you, because they live in time, but God does not live in the realm of time. God lives in eternity. So God can look at Abraham, who is still believing God for a child, and say, a father of many nations have I made you, in plural. Meanwhile, in the physical, in Abraham's dimension, which is the dimension of time, space and matter, Abraham is still waiting for even one child to show. Then God looked at him. He said, I've made you a father of many nations. You see, because God does not live in the realm of time. He is seeing a father of many nations. It's just like God can look at you. You are struggling to even get transport. And God say, a multi-billionaire for the kingdom have I made you. And then you say, ah, father, what are you talking about? I don't even have food to eat. You see, God does not live in your realm. He inhabits eternity. He sees you the way he has made you. God sees and relates with you and describes you based on his plan and purpose for your life. It's human beings that rate you and relate with you based on your past and your present. They cannot see your future. They don't know your future. But the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of men, the things which God has prepared. Your beautiful future is already prepared. It will take revelation. It is only by revelation that people can see it. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the future. You see, the Spirit of God is already rejoicing at the foundation level of this building. Human beings will wait until you build it first before they come and rejoice during dedication. But the Spirit of God, he doesn't live in the realm of time. So while you are laying foundation, he's already rejoicing, because he can see the end from the beginning. Can you shout amen? Amen. So never despise small beginning. That vision God has put in your heart, don't despise it because of the little beginning you are seeing. No! God can see the future. God himself is rejoicing. Next verse, 11. Verse 11. He said, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the candlestick or the lampstand, that's the menorah, and upon the left side, because the oil is flowing from the olive into it. Now, next verse, verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Verse 13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what this be? You know, I like this conversation. The angel is always surprised when the prophet does not know the meaning of the vision. Don't you know? Am I communicating? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 14, which is where we are going, the last verse. Then said he, those two olive trees on the left side and on the right side of the candlestick, he said, those two olive trees, they represent what? These are the two anointed ones. These are the two anointed ones that stand. Can you remember Elijah? He said, before God, whom I stand. Elisha too used that expression. Before God, whom I stand. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole world. Now give me an amplified. Look at how amplified puts it. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? You know, we are laying foundation. He said, then said he, these are the two sons of oil. This is where we got our team for. This is where we got the team, sons of oil, from. These are the two sons of oil. Alabakasa. Ebrekete. Joshua the high priest, number one. And Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, number two. The two anointed ones. So what is the meaning of sons of oil? Right. That expression, sons of oil, means anointed ones. Am I communicating? If you are writing, sons of oil, number one, it means anointed ones. Glory to God. That's the first meaning. And you know, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in scriptures. Oil is a symbol of the anointing in scriptures. So oil can represent the Holy Spirit. It can also represent the anointing. Sons of oil. Keto balakasa brandeke purakataya. Number two, what's the meaning of that expression, sons of oil? It means child of the Holy Ghost. Number two, the second meaning I'll give you. It means child of the Holy Ghost. Son of the Spirit. Son of the Spirit. Son of the Spirit, Son of the Most High. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 1:18. You know, Jesus was called a child of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? Who gave birth to Jesus? Who is Jesus' daddy? It was not Joseph. Joseph was not the real father. If they do DNA test, you think it will show that Joseph was the father of Jesus? No. If they did a DNA test, it will show the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, and Mary was a virgin, as the culture of the Jews was, virgins, okay, women marry as virgins, okay? He said she was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, as in before they had sex, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost, even before they got married. The Jews, they don't have sex until they get married. They are women. They remain as virgins. He said, something strange happened. Before they came together, she was found pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost. That was why Joseph wanted to send her packing quietly. He just wanted to end the relationship and until the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I said, don't carry out that plan. No. You see, this baby is a special child. His name shall be called Jesus. Am I communicating? So now, in the same way that Jesus was called the child of the Holy Ghost, why? Because it was the Holy Ghost. Remember, it says, when Mary asked Angel Gabriel, how shall these things be? How shall I conceive supernaturally without the aid of a man? Without having sex with a man. And then the angel Gabriel told Mary, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and you will conceive supernaturally, and the name of that baby shall be called Jesus. So it was the Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary with the seed of God's word, and the word became flesh and he manifested as Jesus in the womb of Mary. Am I communicating? Now, in the same way Jesus is called the child of the Holy Ghost, you as a child of God, the day you got born again, you were born of the Spirit. In John 3 verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, he said, except a man, okay, verse 5, go to verse 5. So he was not referring to natural birth. He said, Jesus said, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit. Of the water and of the Spirit. This is talking about you being born of the Spirit of God. So to be born again means to be born of the Spirit of God. Who gave birth to you? The Holy Spirit. So when we say son of oil, we mean you are a son of the Holy Ghost. You are a child of the Holy Ghost. You became his child the day you got born again, because you were born of the water and of the Spirit of God. Am I communicating? And the water in this context is referring to the same Holy Spirit, because water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? So you are born of the Spirit. And then in 1 John chapter 3, it says, what manner, from verse 1, what manner of God, 1 John 3, what manner of love, Apostle John exclaimed. He said, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Sons of God. Hiya. He has lavished upon us so much love that we should be called sons of God. So sons of oil are sons of God, sons of the Most High, children of God. Am I communicating? And they are not ordinary. I say we are not ordinary. Glory to God. Then in verse 2. Okay, hold it here. Go back. Verse 1. It says, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world know us not. Take note of that. The world does not know our true identity. You see, that's why it will be an error for you to be taking your definition from the people of the world. Because the world, they don't know you. They cannot know you. They don't know who you truly are. They don't know your identity. They don't know your potential. Don't be defined by people's opinion of you. Don't be addicted to human opinion or human approval. Don't allow human be defined for you. Your what you can do or what you cannot do. They were not the one that made you. They didn't give birth to you. Am I communicating? He said the world knows not, because it knew him not. They didn't know God the Father. They didn't know our Father. Therefore, they will not know us. They didn't even know Jesus. The Bible says he came to his own. His own rejected him. They received him not. Am I communicating? There is more to you than meet the eyes. I said there is more to you than meet the eyes. So don't be a victim or a slave of human approval or human opinion. Or am I communicating? Don't be a slave of it. He said the world knows not. Because they knew him not. The word of God gives us the description of who we are. The Holy Spirit reveals to us who we truly are. So our identity is revealed to us in God's word and by his Spirit. Am I communicating? Our potentials, our capabilities is revealed to us through the word of God. That's why if you are ignorant of God's word, I pity for you. You will be a slave of human opinion of you. The Holy Spirit, it reveals to us who we truly are in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So sons of oil means anointed ones. Sons of oil means children of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? Son of the Spirit. So what is the anointing? If sons of oil means the anointed ones, let's look at the meaning of the anointing. What does the anointing mean? We say oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout scriptures. Oil is also a symbol of the anointing. So what's the meaning of the anointing? Number one, the anointing is a supernatural empowerment and equipment to fulfill your God-given assignment, purpose, or vision. The anointing is a supernatural empowerment and equipment to fulfill your God-given assignment, purpose, or vision. Whenever God tells you to do anything, he equips you and empowers you with the anointing to get it done. He sponsors you with the anointing. Okay, let me explain something in the physical. Let's say I want to eat shawarma. And then I call somebody. I say, please, I tell Pastor Shola, please, can you go get me shawarma? The next thing, I remove the money and give him to buy the shawarma. Please get me shawarma. Then he goes and brings the shawarma. Now you notice that I gave him an assignment. What's the assignment? Go get me shawarma. And the next thing is what? I gave him the means, the ability to get the shawarma. Are you seeing something? Now, without that money, he cannot get the shawarma. If he goes there and stand, he says, hey, Papa, say, bring me shawarma. It will not work. You have to pay. Abi? Now, that's what money is in the physical, is what the anointing is in the realm of the spirit. Anytime God tells you do something, the means by which you will get it done is the anointing. So he anoints you for the task. Am I communicating? He anoints you for the assignment. And that's why you can do that job with ease. The anointing brings great ease. You don't struggle. Am I communicating? Attempting to do God's work, attempting to do any assignment, or carry out any purpose, or fulfill any vision without the commensurate anointing is tantamount to suicide. You may die. because the anointing is not there to get the job done. Am I communicating? Without the anointing, you struggle. You will struggle to get anything done. Without the anointing, you'll be frustrated. Without the anointing, you fail. You may even die attempting to do God's work without God's empowerment, God's ability in form of the anointing. It's like practicing how to commit suicide. You will struggle. You will fail. You will falter. You will be wearied out. You may even die. That's why anytime God sends a man, he anoints him for the task. Am I communicating? Anytime God tells you to do something, he releases the commensurate anointing. So that's why I gave you the first definition of the anointing, which is what? The supernatural empowerment. So the anointing empowers you, okay? Supernatural empowerment and equipment to fulfill your God-given assignment, purpose, or vision. Number two, what's the anointing? The second definition is like this. The anointing is a divine enablement and superhuman energy to fulfill your God-ordained destiny. The anointing is the divine enablement and superhuman energy to fulfill your God-ordained assignment. You can't fulfill your divine destiny without the anointing. Am I communicating? Divine enablement, it enables you supernaturally. It gives you superhuman energy to get the job done. Am I communicating? In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus could not carry out his messianic mission without the anointing. Jesus remained the son of the carpenter for over 30 years. Am I communicating? The world did not know him. He lived an ordinary life for 30 years as the carpenter, doing his father's trade. Because in Jewish culture, the children, especially the male children, they learn the father's trade. So if your father is a carpenter, you too. It's like a what do they call it now? Informal training like that. You will be trained and then apprenticeship. You will learn your father's trade. If your father was a fisherman like Peter's father, Peter and Andrew, their father was a fisherman. Also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, their father too was a fisherman. You too, you will learn your father's trade. So Jesus was a carpenter, normal. He was ordinary. There was nothing remarkable about his life. No supernatural result until Aya Ekobalatia. The anointing is what makes the difference. So, until one day, John the Baptist was baptizing people, and then Jesus came, and Jesus was praying, the heaven opened, and then the Holy Ghost descended like a dove and anointed Jesus higher. And then the next thing, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days and nights. Satan came with all the temptation, he overcame them. And then Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of him spread abroad. What has changed? The same Jesus, but what has come upon him? The anointing. Then Luke 4:18, he entered the synagogue for to read, and then he took the scroll. He found the prophecy of Isaiah, the about the Messiah, that's about him, concerning his assignment. Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. I didn't anoint myself. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the source of the anointing. The Holy Spirit is a secret. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate secret of the anointing. is the one that anoints men. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit is the source of the anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Even to preach, you need to be anointed so that you will produce the desired result. Without the anointing, your preaching will not transform lives. Your preaching will not produce the God kind of result. Am I communicating? In the life of the hearers, a pastor listened to me on Avalanche of Good News broadcast. I think it was GFM. He called. He said, "Kai, he said he has never heard anybody preach on this particular subject that I preach on. He said he has never heard anybody preach like this." He now said, "Please," he was so blessed. He said, "Please, can we send the message to him? He wants to preach it in his church." Somebody said, "The anointing." The anointing is what makes the difference in your preaching and teaching. Kotobalatiza mantekeba. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor." And through the preaching of the gospel to the poor, you solve the poverty problem. So the gospel is actually God's poverty eradication program. The gospel is God's economic empowerment program for the poor. It will raise the poor out of the dust and the beggar out of the dunghill and change their level supernaturally and set them among the princes and cause them to inherit the throne of glory. Am I communicating? He has anointed me. And as a result of that anointing, I will be able to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing will heal the sick. It will heal broken mind, broken heart, broken body. Am I communicating? It will repair, it will mend. The anointing will bring about supernatural healing. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. The anointing will deliver the oppressed. It will bring people out of captivity. Can you shout amen? Amen. It will set the captives free. Mande kobakataya. And the recovering of sight to the blind. The anointing will restore blindness. It will restore blind eyes. It will cure blindness. To set at liberty them that are bruised. My God, the anointing is a solution to depression. It's a solution to discouragement, being downcast, anxiety, all of that. It will what? Mend every broken heart and set at liberty those that are bruised. Then verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable year is the year of the Lord's favor. Give me an amplified. The anointing will program you for unimaginable favor. The anointing will give you favor. It will program your life for unimaginable favor. Am I communicating? The Bible says when the turn of Esther came, it was a beauty, like a beauty pageant or something. The king needed to get another wife to replace Queen Vashti, who had disrespected publicly her husband. The husband was high on wine and out of excitement. You know men with their ego. He said, "Go and bring the queen. Come show them beauty. Show them. Come and display." Unfortunately, queen said, "I'm not coming." The servant said, "Sir," she said, "she's not coming." He said, "Did you tell her that I, King Xerxes, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?" Then, you know, Persia was the world power then. This man is ruling over from Ethiopia to India. Do you know how large? Over 127 provinces. With all this glory. He said, "Did you tell her I'm the one?" He said, "Sir, I told her." She said, "She's not coming." The wine cleared. The wine cleared from his eyes. You know, the number one need of men is respect. Respect and honor. The thing clear. Then, the king was already angry and boiling. Then, he now consulted his advisors. The advisor said, Chai! He said, Vashti, don't fall our hands. He said, she did this thing, disrespected you publicly. Then, come over, add fuel to the burning fire. He said, if you forgive her, sir, all the other women, they go here, say she disrespected you. Then, you know, it's leadership by example. Them two will start disrespecting their husband. The king say, not true. He said, what shall we do? Remove her. Now, he said, go and gather all the most beautiful women. Let me choose one of them as my wife. All the other women. That was after 1 year of beauty treatment. Don't be smart, you know. Make up for 1 year. Eh? You. For 12 months, they have to do beauty treatment just to come and stand before the king for few minutes. You need to know who the king was then. Those days, all this one that you watch Telemundo and Z World say, tell the girl that if you don't love him, don't marry him. You are joking. Those days, once a king say, he point his hand like this, that's all. You have to start loving him on the spot. Your opinion does not matter. Am I communicating? Say, I don't have feelings for him. You do on your own. No? You go start develop the feelings. Don't say all the king needs to do is to point hand like this. That's all. Oh, you don't become his wife. So they came after 12 months, of beauty treatment, and then this one will come, do our own and go. The king, innocent. Next, when the turn of Queen Esther came, hey, when your turn come, may the anointing speak for you. When they are marking your script, when they get to your own, may the anointing of favor, may it speak for you. All those employment letters that they will heap like this, when they get to your own, your turn, may the anointing for favor speak for you. You that is looking for husband, looking for wife, when it comes to your turn, may the anointing for favor speak for you. What you need to marry and marry well is favor. Even to remain in the marriage, it is favor. All cases of divorce are rooted in disfavor. I can show you in the Bible. Forget about what the person did. The real problem is lack of favor. That's the number one cause of divorce. Because if favor is still intact, there is nothing the other partner did that will make you divorce them. You will forgive them. You will forgive. Am I communicating? But the problem is when favor is no longer there. According to the law of Moses, he said, if a woman no longer find favor in her eyes, he said, give her a bill of divorcement. Is there in the Bible, in Deuteronomy? All cases of divorce is rooted in disfavor. That's the truth. As long as favor is still there, nothing like divorce. Then he slept with another woman, you will forgive him. He slept with another man, you will forgive him. Am I communicating? Shabakataya. When the turn of Esther came, favor spoke for her. The Bible says she found favor in the sight of not just the king, everybody that set their eyes on her, including her fellow contestant. Can you imagine? In the eyes of everyone. Chai. And the queen say, what are we still? Say, the thing has ended. This contest has ended. I found the one. And then they put the royal crown on her head. Somebody say favor. See, the anointing programs you for. The anointing makes your life beautiful. The anointing makes you beautiful. Beyond your makeup. Remember, Esther did make up for 1 year, just like all the other contestants. How come the king did not choose others? It's because their own makeup was just natural, but the anointing was a supernatural makeup. The anointing was the difference maker. The anointing for favor was on Esther. That's what makes the difference. The anointing is what makes the difference. You are doing cake business just like every other person. You are not the only person doing cake business. There are many others. So what will make your own different from others? Somebody say the anointing. Yeah. You are a forex trader. There are other people trading forex too. You are trading crypto. You are a cryptorian, forexian. There are others too. Many of them across the world. What will make you different from others? Somebody say the anointing. Shakaba, kato balata. You need to be conscious of the oil on your head. Katasule beletena. Ambraskatai. I like the testimony of our brother who was among those medical students kidnapped. He remembered. He said, I cannot die. He said, my man of God said, I cannot die like a chicken. Ah, yeah. See, the anointing works with a consciousness. Works with a consciousness. If you don't know what you have, it will not work for you. You must recognize it. Be conscious of it. Recognize it. Then utilize it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of our God profusely abound. This is actually the year of Jubilee. Am I communicating? The anointing gives you favor. The anointing is your unparalleled supernatural system of advantage in this life. See, the anointing is priceless. It is more important than everything and anything else. It is priceless. Economy does not affect the anointing. Yeah. You are not getting me. You are not getting me. Inflation and deflation does not affect the anointing. Nothing in this world affects the anointing. Rather, the anointing can change things in the earth realm. Pakatuze beletena. Manda braskata. In Revelation 6, we saw that scripture when he said, ought not the oil and the wine. That's to tell you that the anointing is the only thing that is unaffected, regardless of the economic recession. It cannot be affected. Am I communicating? So increase in fuel price does not move you because of the anointing on you. Stop being afraid of their fear. Don't fear their fear. The fears of the people of the world is not your fear. You belong to a different kingdom. There is an anointing on you. And there is a solemn decree. He said, hot not the corn and the wine. Hot fire. Give me that scripture. Revelation 6. When it talks of those four horses of the apocalypse. Four horses. One of them was famine. Famine. The one that is killing people by famine. Prices of things very high. Eh? Inflation rate very high. And then there was a decree. Hey, my God. Shamalataya. Embreskota. We are not ordinary. Hey, oil there our head. We are sons of oil. I say we are sons of oil. And that anointing is what makes the difference. Revelation 6. It says, verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. That's prices of things are very high. Inflation rate is high. This is like a picture of economic recession. But look at the last statement. And see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. Oil. That's a symbol of the anointing, wine, symbol of the Holy Spirit. In other words, regardless of the happenings on earth, regardless of the economic shaking, is unaffected. The anointing is unaffected. The anointing and the Holy Ghost you carry can never be affected. And with the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life, you can dominate every economic condition. You can dominate the inflation. You can dominate the harsh economy. Am I communicating? You can dominate lack. You can dominate scarcity. You can dominate finances. You can walk in financial dominion. The anointing is priceless. It's a priceless commodity. The anointing is our unparalleled system of supernatural advantage in this life. It makes you and your life beautiful. The anointing makes you mighty. It makes you powerful. The anointing supernaturally announces you to your world. Jesus, the son of the carpenter, it was when he was anointed, Jesus said, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." The anointing announces you. The anointing puts something on your voice that makes it sweet to the ears of those hearing you. Am I communicating? It's the anointing that makes your voice sweet to people. Am I communicating? It's not even your accent. You may speak with Queen's English, but without the anointing, the accent of the you may speak with sweet accent. Without the anointing, your voice will be very annoying to people. But without the anointing, life becomes annoying. Am I communicating? Katasila bakatai. Your proposal that you submitted will become annoying without the anointing. It's the anointing that makes the difference. Konda balatiza pandeke brendoko skapatai. You want to be a nurse? Be a nurse with a difference. Anointed nurse. Am I communicating? You want to be a doctor? Be a doctor with a difference. What will bring that difference? The anointing. See, even when I was doing NYSC as a copper doctor in Matabamehi General Hospital, Zuru, you can go there and confirm. I was a just ordinary copper doctor, medical officer. Patients will come and see the head of the hospital, the medical superintendent, the one in charge. They will see him after he has consulted and seen them. They will still come with the prescription and whatever he told them to do. They will come and meet me. They'll say, "Hey, Dr. So-and-so said I should do this, I should take this." He said, "Please, what do you say?" As in, they're asking for my opinion. I said, "My boss have spoken and you are coming to me." Because they believe that I am better than him. That's what they believe. Somebody say the anointing. See, with the anointing on your life as a doctor, you will prescribe Panadol to cure cancer and it will work. It's not about the drug. It's about the person. It's about the anointed son of oil that is prescribing. Am I communicating? As a pharmacist with the anointing, somebody come with diabetes. You can even prescribe vitamin C to blast the diabetes. Sugar level will normalize. Katondeke parakata. See, you can be doing what others are doing, but it will produce a different result. With the anointing of the Spirit upon your life. Do we have sons of oil in the house? The anointing is the difference maker. It is the maker of men. It is the maker of kingdom giants. The anointing does not just make the difference. It is the difference. The anointing makes you effective and efficient in your service delivery. It helps you to do what you do very well. The anointing is the secret of efficiency. It is the secret of effectiveness. You cannot effectively serve without the anointing. You will struggle. The anointing divinely empowers you for kingdom service. And it enables you to do exploits. What are exploits? Exploits are attention commanding supernatural feat, attention commanding supernatural accomplishments, attention commanding supernatural results. They are all powered by the anointing. Am I communicating? The anointing gives you so much influence. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, the fame of him spread abroad. Why? Because of the anointing. It announces you supernaturally to your world, and it gives you great influence and impact. The secret of influence and impact is the anointing. Listen, without the anointing, forget about global influence, forget about global impact. If you must impact and influence your world on a global scale as a believer, it has to be by the anointing. You take over by the anointing. Hallelujah. Give me Genesis chapter 28 verse 18. The very first time the word anointing was mentioned in the Bible was in Genesis 28 verse 18. The very first time the word what? Not anointing, sorry, correct it. Oil. You know, we are looking at sons of oil, ba? Sons of oil. Okay, let's see. The first time the word oil appeared in the Bible is this Genesis 28 verse 18. Remember Jacob? That is encounter. What we popularly call Jacob's ladder. That he took that stone that his grandfather Abraham used to build an altar. He used the stone as pillow. He was on a journey. And then he had this encounter. He saw angels ascending. He saw a very tall ladder. The top reached to heaven, angels ascending and descending upon it. Now watch this. Genesis 28:18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it for a pillar and poured oil. This is the first time the word oil appeared in the Bible. He poured oil upon the top of it. Next verse. Glory to God. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3, go. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. Now go back to verse 18. Are you there? Now, the first time the word oil was used or appeared in the Bible is in this verse. And can you see a connection between 18 and 19? Can you see a connection? 19 talks about Bethel. What is Bethel? Bethel. Bethel. House of God, right? Bethel means the house of God. Now, verse 18 talked about the oil that Jacob poured on the top of what? The pillar, right? Then verse 19 talks about Bethel, the house of God. Is there a connection? Yes. The house of God is the place of oil. The house of God is not a cinema. The house of God is not an entertainment or comedy house. The house of God is not just a social gathering. The house of God is a place of oil. It's a house of oil. Am I communicating? So when you come to the house of God, you come to church, it's for you. You know what we call service? What's the meaning of service? When they say service your car, what does it mean to service your car? In service, you change the oil, have you? And you do some other things. So it's the same thing. When you come for service, you receive fresh oil. You come to the house of oil to change the oil. Kobo takaba. You know, David knew something about fresh oil. In Psalm 92:10, he said, "My horn, thou was exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." That's the secret of freshness. You produce fresh results, fresh exploits. Am I communicating? So coming to church is not another religious session. Coming for Avalanche of Glory service is not another boring religious routine. No! You are coming for service. You are coming to the house of oil. You are coming to the place of oil to receive what? Fresh oil. Somebody say fresh oil. Fresh oil. You can't be operating with the same anointing for 1 year. No. You can't be operating with the same anointing for 1 month. You need fresh oil. Katobalatia. So the house of God is the house of oil. And interestingly, that word oil is the Hebrew word shemen. Somebody say shemen. It's the Hebrew word shemen. And shemen means a couple of things. It means a couple of things, among which, let me just pick a few. In the new month newsletter, I explain in details. Actually, this olive oil, anointing oil, that God told Moses that they should prepare and all of that, is actually talking about shemen. Am I communicating? That's in the physical. Glory to God. Shemen literally means grease. One of the meaning is grease. You know grease? Grease. The grease you apply to machinery part and all of that to prevent what? Friction. So it makes the machine, the shemen is like that oil, that grease, that oils the machinery of your life so that there will be no friction. So when we say shemen, grease, we're actually talking of the anointing for ease, supernatural ease. This is what we eradicate every form of difficulty, struggle, sweating and toiling. Am I communicating? The anointing gives you supernatural ease. You do things with ease. You command results with ease. No struggle. It eliminates every form of struggle, sweating, suffering. Am I communicating? Shemen is also the anointing for fruitfulness. And by the way, this is the ninth month. And 9 is a symbol of fruitfulness. Usually a woman is pregnant for 9 months and then she delivers. So you are betting things. You are betting things this month. You are betting great ideas, betting visions. The anointing for supernatural fruitfulness is resting upon you. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. So the outpouring of the Spirit releases the anointing for supernatural fruitfulness. So shemen is the anointing for fruitfulness. Glory to God. Shemen also means medicine, medicament. You know, okay, I'll come to that later. Medicine, it has medicinal value, healing virtue. The anointing has healing virtue. I said the anointing has healing what? Virtue. It produces supernatural healing. Kotabakasa. Shemen also causes your face to shine. Is an anointing for shining. I say it's an anointing for shining. No, you didn't hear me. It's an anointing for shining. It causes you to shine. To shine means to be a solution provider. You shine. You shine the light. You provide solution to those that are in darkness. To shine means another meaning to what? Influence your world. Am I communicating? Jesus said you are the light of the world. So it makes you an influencer. The anointing gives you influence. It causes you to shine. It means to influence and impact your world. Am I communicating? You become the leader. You lead, others follow. Others follow. I say you lead, others follow. Just imagine, in the midst of darkness, Is it not the person with light that other people will start rallying around? Is the person with light they will start following? Because they are in the dark, they will follow the one with light. Am I communicating? You are shining, oh. I say you are shining. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you are shining. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hinder you. By this anointing, you are making supernatural progress. You are going forward. The anointing is causing you to be established. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord is resting upon you. You are going from grace to grace. You are going from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus, the things that used to be difficult, by this anointing, suddenly they are becoming easy. The anointing is granting you great ease. The anointing is giving you divine favor. The anointing is giving you divine speed. You will function with supernatural speed and acceleration. Thank you, Father. Kontabakasa. Lebrendekepa. Shemen is also the anointing for fatness. It makes you fat. Hey, give me Isaiah 10:27. It makes you fat. You grow fat. It's all physical fatness. So before somebody go get obesity. It's not physical fatness. It's spiritual fatness. You know, in the physical, those days, fat animals are a symbol of prosperity. So Shemen makes you to prosper in your finances, in your business. It causes you to flourish. He said, it shall come to pass in that day, his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. That is the burden the enemy placed on you, and his yoke off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of Shemen. Because of the anointing, it's Shemen. Now, look at how NIV puts it. You'll get it now. New International Version. NIV. Kato Balatia. He said, in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, and their yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. In other words, you cannot be yoked again. They try to put it around your neck, it cannot enter. You have grown so fat. Pataka barakata. The anointing makes it impossible for you to be oppressed. The enemy cannot put yokes on you. Those yokes and body, when they put it, it breaks. When they put it, it breaks. They come to oppress you in the night, it breaks. Witches and wizards, they come against you, they break. Because of the anointing, Shemen. It makes you inoppressible. Am I communicating? The anointing protects you from satanic oppression. Amplified. Look at how the Amplified puts it. Munda bakasaya. Sepeketena. Somebody here, the last time you were oppressed will be the last forever. The next time the demonic forces come to oppress you, the anointing will answer them. This anointing will answer them. This anointing will protect you from satanic harassment, satanic oppression, in the name of Jesus. It shall come to pass in that day that the burden of the Assyrian, that's their enemy, shall depart from your shoulders, and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. Because of fatness. Ah, yeah. Somebody is gaining weight in the spirit by the anointing. I say somebody is gaining weight in the spirit by the anointing. He said because of fatness. He said which prevents it from going around your neck. You see what I was trying to explain? The fatness prevents the yoke from going around your neck. The anointing makes you immune to satanic oppression. Burdens and yokes, they get destroyed. I said they get destroyed. They get destroyed. Hey, man de gebosa. Psalm 89 verse 20. David was a man that knew about the anointing. David was a man that placed a very high premium on the anointing. Psalm 89 verse 20. He said, I have found David my servant. This is God speaking. With my holy shemen oil have I anointed him. Glory to God. I have found David my servant. The anointing comes upon servants. In the course of this teaching, I will teach you keys to the anointing. One of them is service, service, service. If you don't know how to serve, you are not ready to walk in the anointing. He said, I have found David my servant. Remember when God sent Prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to replace King Saul, who had disobeyed God. The only person that was serving was David. He was taking care of his father's sheep. That was service. And he was the one the anointing located his head. All the other ones, they were too big for service. If you are too big to serve, you are too small for God to anoint. Am I communicating? I found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Next verse. Look at what the anointing will do. Next verse. He said, with whom my hand shall be established. In other words, the anointing is the key to supernatural establishment. The anointing will establish you in your finances. It will bring about financial establishment. It will bring about business establishment. It will bring about marital settlement and establishment. It will bring about establishment in your career, in your job. He said, even in ministry, the anointing is the key to supernatural establishment. My arm shall also strengthen him. The anointing imparts supernatural strength. Higher. It imparts supernatural strength. You are not a weakling. Next verse. Mande kepo sagabataya. With whom my arm shall be established. Konda balatiza. Next verse 22. It says, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Why? Because of the anointing that is upon him. The enemy shall not exact upon him. The sons of wickedness cannot afflict him. So it doesn't matter whether they took your name to witchcraft coven. It doesn't matter whether they made incantations on your picture in one native doctor shrine. He said the anointing is your divine protection. The enemy cannot exact upon you. When they call your name, fire will answer. And it will burn off both the person that took your name there and the native doctor that is performing the ritual. Katondeke parakatai. They plan accident for you. The anointing will deliver you from that accident. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Next verse. And we beat down his foes before his face. And we plague them that hate him. See, it's dangerous to fight an anointed man. You can't successfully fight an anointed person. You will be the one to suffer. Because that anointing will fight against you. He said, God said, and we beat down his foes. That's his enemies. In other words, the anointing gives you supernatural victory in warfare. It makes it impossible for the enemy to defeat you. The anointing gives you supernatural victory. It causes you to triumph over the enemies that are risen against you. Am I communicating? And it doesn't matter their number. And it's God said, I will plague them that hate him. They hate you. God said, I will plague them. As if for hating you, God said, I will punish them. For hating a son of oil. For hating an anointed one. Malakus ketela. Next verse. He said, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Can you shout amen? Amen. The anointing exalts your horn. I say it exalts your horn. It makes you enjoy the mercies of God. You enjoy the sure mercies of David. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 verse 5. Kaso balatia. Embras katala. Zofe ketila. Bakatai. Eletona. thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup.
Hey,
my cup runneth what? Over. The Hebrew word runneth over is revaya. It means wealthy place. It is also used in Psalm 66 verse 12, where he said, thou causest men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us into the wealthy place. That wealthy place is revaya. It's the same word for runneth over. And the cup here, in your mind, you are thinking of the cup you are using to drink water at home. Delete that thinking, you know. That's not the meaning of the word cup there. It's not this cup that you are using to drink water. The days of David, this kind of cup did not exist. The technology has not been found to make the kind of cup we are using now. So what does it mean when he said my cup? I did a little study. That word cup in the Hebrew, it means like a purse, a shepherd's bag, where shepherds put their money. My money bag. It's like a purse, a bag, where shepherds put their money. And you know, money is usually in form of metal those days. It's heavy and all of that. So when he said, my cup runneth over, if my money bag overflows. Hey! My bank account overflows. My business overflows. Why? Because something is on my head. Look at it. Is there a relationship between what is on your head and what the result you see? Am I communicating? He said, thou anointest my head with oil, and it has a ripple effect on my finances. The anointing causes what? My cup, my money bag, to overflow. Somebody say overflow. The anointing causes you to enjoy financial overflow. Kasabalatia. The anointing causes you to walk in financial abundance. The anointing causes you to flourish. It affects the work of your hands. Whatever you do prospers. Am I communicating? The anointing makes it impossible for what you do to fail. No. Not with the anointing. Whatever you do, as you are led, you prosper. Am I communicating? It causes you to walk in abundance. Thou anointest my head with oil. You anoint my head with shemen. Thou doshen my head with shemen. And my cup runneth over. Your cup is overflowing. Your money bag is overflowing. Your finances is overflowing. Your business is overflowing. In the name of Jesus, the anointing for prosperity is resting upon you. By the wisdom and power of God, you are walking in wealth untold. In the name of Jesus, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Even the wisdom that will make you a wealth producer, the anointing will give you that wisdom. Mandeke pora kapatai. Ele frike tele diska. Ambrakatai. Let me round up with this. Four kinds of anointing you should know about. Four kinds. Number one, the anointing within every believer. What we call the believer's anointing or resident anointing. There are four kinds of anointing you should know about. Now, there is a classification of the anointing based on their purpose or their function. For instance, the anointing for healing is the healing anointing. Anointing for prosperity is the prosperity anointing. The preaching anointing, there is the preaching anointing. Then there is the teaching anointing. There is the anointing for supernatural increase, growth, multiplication, and all of that. There's the anointing for favor, anointing for honor, anointing for protection, for preservation. Am I communicating? Now, this is based on function and purpose. But the one I want to give you now is like four general kinds of anointing that you should know. Am I communicating? Number one is the anointing within every believer. First John chapter 2 verse 20. It says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Praise God. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. That word unction is, it means anointing. Okay? Other translation uses anointing. Then 27. Jump to 27. So the first kind of anointing I'm teaching you is the anointing within every believer. If you are born again, you are a child of God, this anointing, it resides in you. Okay? He said, but the anointing which ye have received of him abided in you. Okay? So it's resident within you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Hold it here. Now, it's good to read scriptures in context. You know, some people have read this scripture and then they say, I don't need to go to church again. I don't need any man of God to teach me. You see, the Bible says the anointing teaches you what? All things. You see, people go into error when they interpret scripture out of context. If you start reading from the beginning, the context is talking about false antichrist spirits and false prophets. Okay? Deception. Okay, Apostle John was talking about all those deceiving antichrist spirit, false prophets, and all of that that are deceiving the people. So it's in this context he wrote that this resident anointing within you is going to teach you all things. As in, it will teach you to know what is true from what is false. As in, it will protect you from satanic deception. Am I communicating? This scripture is not saying that you don't need the ministry of teachers in the body of Christ. That's not what he's saying, you know. It's only telling you that the anointing will teach you to recognize the fake from the true. It will protect you from the deceptive influence of antichrist spirit and false prophets. Am I communicating? You don't need social media to tell you who is fake man of God. Some people are funny. Some Christians, they depend on social media, content creators that are doing their business, making money, looking for how to generate traffic to get more views and like. Yeah, you now sit down to listen to them. Say, five men of God that are fake in Nigeria. This one number one. And then you sit down listening to them. The Bible says the anointing within you is going to teach you. You don't need social media content creators to tell you who is fake or who is correct. Does social media have the Holy Spirit? Am I communicating? You have the Holy Spirit. It's like a slap. You with the Holy Spirit. You are not listening to social media to tell you who is fake and who is false. No. This resident anointing is what protects you from satanic deception. So it helps your discernment. It sharpens your discernment. The resident anointing sharpens your discernment. The anointing upon does not protect you from deception. It is the anointing within that protects you from deception. That's why some people wonder how come a prophet that is heavily anointed is associating with another fake prophet and he does not know that this one is fake. The reason is because the anointing upon that prophet that is genuine is not what helps his discernment. Discernment is the anointing within. Are you getting me? So somebody can be heavily anointed with the anointing upon, but if he does not develop the anointing within, he will be a victim of deception. He will lack discernment. So he will associate with the wrong people. He will invite fake prophets without knowing. He will think that they are all genuine like him. Am I communicating? So never forget this. It is the anointing within that sharpens your discernment. It protects you from satanic deception or even human deception. Okay? It helps your sensitivity and discernment. Then It is the anointing within that helps you cultivate Christ-like character. The anointing upon does not help your character. It is the one within. Very important. Pastor Nenku was talking about the character. Very important. It is the anointing within that helps to build a strong character. Joseph and Samson were both anointed. But Samson had a strong anointing upon, but the anointing within was not well developed. So because of that, his character was weak. And see how he ended. Great man of God became pepper grinder. They were using him for sport and entertainment. They plucked out his eyes. But look at Joseph. Joseph had the anointing upon for leadership, for governance, for business. But beyond that, he had a strong anointing within that helped him to build strong character. So when Mrs. Potiphar came with temptation, he rejected it. Why? His character is strong. He said no to her offer. So he will not commit adultery. He won't commit fornication. Am I communicating? So never forget that it is the anointing within that sharpens your sensitivity, your discernment, protecting you from deception. It also helps you to build a strong character. The second anointing you should know is the anointing upon every believer. I'm already talking about it. Now, the anointing upon you as a believer is a supernatural empowerment for kingdom service, as in general service. It helps you to serve and serve well. It is a key to effectiveness and efficiency. Okay? Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses. Okay? So it empowers you for witnessing. It empowers you for service, kingdom service in the general sense. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, he that has anointed us is God. Okay? So every believer in Christ is anointed. Okay? You have the anointing within. You also have the anointing upon for to enable you to serve. Okay? He said, and hath anointed us is God. So the body of Christ is the body of the anointing. Glory to God. The third kind of anointing you should know is the special anointing for ministry. Now, this is not just a general anointing for kingdom service that I talked about in number two. This one is a special anointing for ministry to help you fulfill your specific calling. Am I communicating? To help you do what? Fulfill your specific calling. This special anointing for ministry comes with your God-ordained unique office. It comes with your God-ordained unique office, calling or assignment. Depending on what you are called to do, God anoints you for it. Exodus 30:30. It says, anoint Aaron and his son. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his son and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Can you see that? So that they can be able to stand in that office. So that's why I said it comes. This special anointing for ministry, it comes with your God-ordained unique office, your calling, your assignment. Okay? Depending on what it is. It says, consecrate, anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So priests in the Old Testament, they are anointed. Even king, 1 Samuel 10:1. Kings are anointed too. No king ever ascended the throne in ancient Israel without the anointing. It's too dangerous. Kings are anointed to reign in their offices. And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon the head of who? Saul, the son of Kish. And kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Israel desired for a king, and God gave them a king in the person of King Saul. But for him to function effectively in his kingly office, for him to sit on the throne and function effectively and efficiently as a king, he needed to be anointed by Prophet Samuel. He needed to be anointed. So the anointing will make you a captain. The anointing can make a captive to become a captain. It changes your status. Then also in 1 Samuel 16:13, you will see how Samuel, King David was anointed in the midst of his brethren by Prophet Samuel. Hallelujah. Then in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, the fivefold ministry gift to the church, the office of apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastors, they all have special anointing to go with the office. Am I communicating? Yes. There is a special anointing upon an apostle to stand in the office of an apostle. And you see it by the results that their ministry produce. The same thing with a prophet. There is a special prophetic anointing that goes with that office. The same thing with an evangelist. There is a special evangelistic anointing. There is a pastoral anointing. It's so that they will be effective and efficient in carrying out their assignment. The same thing with a pastor. For instance, look. One of the anointing on a pastor is to gather people. And the gathering is not just physical gathering of people. See, when you come under your God-ordained pastor, you will realize that your life will start gathering. It will gather your life. Your scatter life, things will start falling in shape. By the time you locate the person God has put to be your pastor, things will start gathering and falling in shape. When you run away from the person, your life will start scattering. It's an anointing to gather. Am I communicating? The evangelist has a special anointing upon him. So you see them in crusade, pulling crowd. It would be foolish for a pastor to be looking at those crowd attending the evangelist meeting and be envious. No. Assignments are not the same. Glory to God. An apostle has a special anointing that makes him to stand in his office, to carry out his responsibility. You know, one of the problems in this generation is people, they put title, they just put any title for themselves that they like. Especially apostle, that's the one they like the most. You see somebody that got born again a few years ago is bearing apostle. They are even angry if you don't address them by apostle. And funny enough, apostle is the only, among the fivefold ministry gift, it is the only office that you never start as an apostle. Go and study your Bible. Apostle Paul, how did he start? He was a teacher, a prophet. Then in Acts 13, at that minister's conference, God spoke. He said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Paul, who hitherto were teachers and prophets, unto the work," which is the apostolic work, "I have called them." That was how their missionary journey began. Or today, is it somebody start ministry yesterday is bearing apostle? You go, it's madness. Am I communicating? And they are carrying their shoulder. They see a pastor. They say, "I now am a pastor. Should respect us. We are the apostles." Glory to God. And then there are signs. The Bible talked about the signs of an apostle. See, you can bear title, but it is the result that matters. If it doesn't even matter the title you bear, what is more important is the function. The results will check the fruit of your ministry. If you cannot see the fruit of what you are bearing, then there is question mark. Am I communicating? There is question mark. Are you called to leadership, politics, governors like Daniel and Joseph? There is a special anointing for you to stand in that office. Am I communicating? And the office of an apostle is the office that, you know, somebody uses five finger to explain the fivefold ministry gift. Apostle, prophet. Apostle, because you can, it's only with this thumb you can touch all the other fingers, right? Yes, because the office of an apostle is the only office that you can function here as a prophet, you can function here as an evangelist, you can function here as what? Pastor, you can also function as a teacher, as a spirit lead. Look at Apostle John that wrote the book of Revelation. You will think he is a prophet, but he's an apostle. Am I communicating? Anytime God needs you to function in any of those, he can use you. That's why when you see an apostle, you may even get confused. Sometimes you will think they are prophets. When they teach, you say, this person is a teacher. When the whole crusade, you will think they are evangelists, because they can flow in all the other offices. Am I communicating? Depending on what is needed for the hour, they can plant churches and then hand over to others, or oversee it as branches and all of that. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And signs and wonders often accompany the ministries of apostles. Signs and wonders. The Bible talks about the signs of an apostle. When God needs an apostle to function as a pastor, he can function as a pastor. So, watch this. Apostle, prophet, seer, right? You notice this finger is the longest, right? Reaching out, outreach, that's evangelists. They are the one reaching out for souls, right? Okay, then wedding ring always enters this one. Is this not where they put wedding ring? Eh? Yeah, this is wedding ring finger. So pastor is the wife of the church. Is the wife of the church, right? This is pastor. Then teacher, here a little, there a little. Line must be upon line, precept must be upon precept, there a little, there a little. Teacher, they explain things in details. A preacher can just come and announce the gospel and proclaim, the Lord is blessing you, the Lord is increasing you, you are moving to the next level. Then the teacher will now bring what he said and break it down. He will explain so that people will gain understanding and be established in that present truth. And how do you know a good teacher? You know a good teacher by the level of understanding of his pupil. Did they understand what he taught? That's how you know a good teacher. And then it will now show in the results they produce. Are you getting blessed? Are you learning something? What's the first kind of anointing? The anointing within every believer. Resident believer's anointing. Number two, the anointing upon every believer, which is empowerment for general service. Then number three, special anointing for ministry to fulfill your specific calling. It comes with your God ordained unique office, calling, or assignment. Then the last one, number four, the corporate or congregational anointing. Psalm 133 from verse 1. The corporate or congregational anointing. Corporate anointing. Corporate anointing. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirt of his garments. Next verse. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there. There talks about a place, a location. There, the Lord commanded the blessing, even forevermore. So the blessing is likened to the dew of Hermon. And Hermon and Zion mean the same thing. Mount Hermon and Mount Zion is the same thing. And Mount Zion in ancient Israel is always wet with dew. Always wet with dew. That is a picture of the anointing that is always fresh, fresh oil. Am I communicating? So he said, when we meet together corporately like this in Mount Zion, there is a release of a special anointing. He calls it the commanded blessing. Listen, there are some anointings that you will never partake of, no matter how much you pray and fast and seek God on your own. This corporate anointing is different from the anointing on your life. It's different from the anointing upon you, or the anointing that comes with your special calling. This one, God only releases it when we meet together like this. Am I communicating? There are some things God does for us individually when we seek Him. There are some encounters we have when we seek God individually. But there are things God only does in corporate meeting, when we gather like this. That's why Hebrews 10:25, he said, don't neglect the gathering of yourself. Because there is a special corporate anointing that you are supposed to drink from, you are supposed to partake of. Because there are impartations in such meetings. When we meet like this for Avalanche of Glory service, we meet for meetings, we meet for prayer meeting, we meet for Throne of Grace encounter, we meet for Festival of Fire. There is a corporate anointing that you partake of. Am I communicating? That you wouldn't have if you did not come. Now you will have just stayed on your own at home. Glory to God. I say glory to God. That's why it is wrong not to go to church. No matter how you think you are anointed, once you don't go to church, you are not partaking of that corporate anointing. No, there are some people that say, we now online church will they attend. Don't worry. When, like one pastor said, he said, don't worry, when you are sick, you will receive online visitation. When you want to marry, you will marry online. They will wed you online. The pastor will appear online. Say, when you die, they will conduct the funeral online. You better wake up. There are things that cannot happen online. You have to be there live on ground. Online is not a substitute for actual service. It's only a complement. It's a supplement to augment the actual service for those that genuinely cannot come. It is not a substitute. It's not either online or be there. Mm-mm. Never neglect corporate meetings. Ah, yeah. See, for instance, we can sit like this. Maybe this person has an anointing for prosperity, but this other person has anointing for healing the sick, but he's not doing well in his finances. But when we meet for corporate meeting, the Holy Ghost will look, okay, this one needs what this person carry. He will just impart it without your permission, self. Because under that corporate gathering, we partake. It's like a cocktail of anointings. I say it is a cocktail of anointings. Rise to your feet. In Acts chapter 4, when they prayed corporately, in verse 31, the Bible says the place where they were gathered was shaken together. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with boldness. And then verse 33, with great power gave he the apostle witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. Can you shout amen? Never neglect corporate meetings. We saw in Genesis 28:18, the first time the word oil appeared in the Bible, that, and it was in connection to the house of God, Bethel. And we concluded that the house of God is the house of oil. The house of God is a place of oil. So anytime you miss corporate service, you are missing opportunity to what? To receive fresh oil. To partake of that corporate anointing. Take note of this. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the anointing without measure. But the anointing, the manifestation of that anointing in our lives is in measures. I take it again. The day we received the Holy Ghost, we received the anointing without measure to reside in us. But the manifestation of that anointing in our lives is in measures. So that means the anointing is in levels in terms of manifestation. It increases as the grace upon your life increases. We saw that in Acts 4:33. Great grace came with great power. Power talks of the anointing. In Ezekiel 47:3-5, it talked about, he measured 1,000 cubits, the water were to my ankle, he measured another 1,000 cubits to my knee, another 1,000 cubits to my waist, and then it became a river. It's talking of different levels of the anointing. And we have established that the Holy Spirit is the source of the anointing, is the one that anoints men for service. Micah 3:8, truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the ultimate secret of the anointing. We'll continue from here next week. I want you to lift up your hands. The anointing, it is a priceless heavenly commodity. Priceless heavenly commodity. How can you even fulfill your assignment, your calling? How can you even fulfill your destiny without the anointing? Katasule beletena. The anointing is that divine enablement, superhuman energy to fulfill your God-given destiny. Is that supernatural empowerment, equipment? Kasule beletena, kazabalatena, so brekete. The anointing makes you more than a man. The anointing makes you more than a man. It makes you extraordinary. It makes you extraordinary. Kasemele komborondo sovrahadila. Kam brande kepora malataza, brande kepa. The anointing will turn a captive into a captain. It will turn a captive into a captain. The anointing will make it impossible for you to be yoked. It will make it impossible for the enemy to oppress you. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. He said the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor shall the sons of wickedness afflict him. It is the anointing that ensures you don't die like a chicken. Malakudekepa, the anointing is your seal of protection. It secures your life. It secures everything that pertains to you. It secures your family. The anointing protects you from wicked and unreasonable men. It protects you from satanic harassment. The anointing will heal your body. It will bring you healing. It will bring you deliverance. It will grant you favor. It will cause you to make speedy supernatural progress. Kalika bondeke brakatai. The anointing will terminate every form of struggle. Mande bosha. It will bring supernatural ease. Ile monde kila bronde. Sobarande kila balate. Listen, when Saul died, when the news concerning Saul and Jonathan's death got to David, David lamented and cried. He said, how are the mighty fallen? He said, how can Saul die like that? As though he was never anointed with oil. So David knew that the anointing is supposed to protect Saul from dying. The Bible says Saul and Jonathan,
They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Yet they died. He said, how can he die like that? Because of his disobedience. You know, he was not supposed to die. It was because he disobeyed God. And then he became envious of David. Evil spirit started tormenting him. In other words, the anointing protects you from death. Aya. He said, publish it not in Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistine hear and rejoice. He said, how can he die? Give me 2 Samuel 1:20. He said, how can he die like that? As though he was never anointed with oil. Shamagadaya. He is so mali. 1:21. 2 Samuel 1:21. Mandeke balatia. Zepekete. Rondo praska. The anointing will protect you from accident. It will protect you from arrow, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walketh by noonday. He said, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew. David placed a curse on the place where Saul died. He said, the mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain. He said, upon you, nor of the fields of the offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. He said, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with Shemen. Ayagabalatai. I want you to put your hand on your head. By this anointing, no evil shall befall me. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. By this anointing, I am protected. I am preserved. My family is protected. My family is preserved. I'm kept by the power of God. Liga basata. I cannot be oppressed. The enemy shall not exact upon me. The sons of wickedness, they will not afflict me. I'm delivered from the spirit of death. Liga basata. Shelebonde kilabate rondo prakatai liga bakasata efom bakatia lefranda kapata. Now begin to prophesy. By this anointing, I enjoy supernatural favor. The anointing is programming me to enjoy overwhelming favor, supernatural honor. The anointing is exalting my horn like the horn of the unicorn. The favor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the honor of the Lord is resting upon me by this anointing. Kalebonde simbalate rondeke praskapata ikombalataya. Shalabaka sabalatia rondeke prakatai. The anointing will bring about dramatic turnaround. Liga bashata. It will turn around things in your favor. It will turn you into another man. It will turn things around in your favor. Mande boko sakatai. It will turn around every adversity. It will turn around contrary circumstances. It will program things to happen in your favor. It will make all things to work together for your good. Konde borabakasata. In the name of Jesus, listen. He said, turn again our captivity, O Lord. You know that God did it before. He said, do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. He said, as the streams in the south, the streams in the, give me an amplified, the streams of Negev. Now, listen, a little story about the streams in the south is like a river bed. During dry season, when there is no rain, it is usually very dry. And then the moment rain starts falling, it is said that in few hours
the streams in the south or the streams of Negev, in few hours it is already filled to overflow, until the thing will even be overflowing and become a rushing current. As in, the way and manner it gets filled is a mystery. In few hours, this is the same stream that was dry, as in desert dry, as in very, very dry. But the moment rain starts falling, in few hours it is filled to overflow. Dramatic turnaround. It's a picture of dramatic turnaround. He said, turn to freedom our captivity, restore our fortunes. Oh Lord, as the streams in the south, the Negev, are restored by the torrents. I want you to lift up your voice. The anointing brings about supernatural restoration. It doesn't matter whatever you lost before. The anointing can restore it. The anointing can even restore lost time. He said, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm have eaten. The greatest thing that can be restored is not, money or other things. It is time. He said, I will restore the years. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, let the anointing bring about supernatural restoration. Opportunities I have lost. Time, years that I have lost. The years that the demonic caterpillar and canker worm have eaten. Every possession, money and material things I lost. Anything that pertained to me. Every grace, every anointing, Mashila Gabatai. Whatever has been lost, my zeal, my fire, by this anointing, let there be supernatural restoration. Kalabakonde kebarakatai. Ila marondo sofrekete. Manda bakasa, restore our fortunes. Shabalido seprende kepa.
My head, thou was exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil. My horn, thou art exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil. My head, thou art exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil. My heart, thou art exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil.
I want you to turn that into a prayer in 1 minute. Katasila Bakatai. I want you to pray as if they put Miango Pepe in your eyes. Say, Father, I'm not going through this month like that. Release a fresh oil upon me. I refuse to function like an ordinary man. Release that supernatural empowerment that makes me extraordinary, that grants supernatural ability. I want you to cry out to God for the release of fresh oil. The release of fresh oil. Father, exalt my horn like the horn of the unicorn. Father, send me get there. Rivers of oil, lift up your hands. There is the release. I see the release.
my joy. Malababonde, Elekebonde, lift up your hands. God is anointing people with fresh joy. Katakedeke barakatai. I'm seeing somebody. There is a restoration of fire. The fire of your love for God. There is a fire of prayer. The fire of passion and zeal. Latis kapate. Somebody is receiving a tangible anointing for favor. A favor anointing is clothing somebody right now. Receive it now. Shagabaligabata, bring them forward. Malato Sagade. Maladaba Kasata. Somebody, there's an anointing the Lord is releasing upon your hands. I'm seeing oil, burning oil, being poured upon somebody's hand. Lagabate. The Lord says the anointing for healing, the anointing for miracle signs and wonders, as I speak, is being released upon your hands. Take it now. Take the anointing now. Shakabalaga bagadai, Zobarida kapatai. An anointing for restoration is resting upon somebody. Everything you lost is being restored now. The yoke of delay is broken. An anointing for supernatural speed and acceleration is resting upon somebody. Magapora ebagade. Take the anointing now. The yoke of delay is broken. Put your hands on your head. I'm seeing an anointing, a prophetic anointing, a prophetic mantle of fire, the seer's anointing, is resting upon somebody. Magabakate. Lebikatai, help the person. La ta 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 kabakatai. By this anointing, your eyes are open, your ears are open. Malasubeketai, I release that prophetic mantle of fire. Take it now. Shagabagata kabrakatai, help them, bring them forward. Ronde kepora kabatai, elefriketila kabatai. Manda bakuskete leberekete. Mashata kaba. Somebody is receiving a prayer fire. Your fire for prayer. You used to pray before like mad, but look as if the thing is gone. The Lord is restoring that prayer fire. The Lord is clothing you with a mantle of fire. Take it now. The garment of shame and reproach, the Lord is rolling it away from the life of somebody and is clothing you with the garment of favor and honor. Every garment of shame, every garment of reproach, every garment of shame, I command it to be burnt up by fire. The Lord is clothing you with the garment of favor. Your life will start smelling favor. Help that person. Take the fire. Ilabakonde ke brande ke palatiza. Erondo sofre kete kete. Malabakunde ke barakatai. The seer's mantle of fire. Fresh oil is being released. The anointing for increase. I see an anointing for supernatural increase. Whatever has reduced in your life, every form of loss, Any area you have suffered loss, by this anointing, let everything about your life begin to increase supernaturally.
To bring about supernatural multiplication and increase. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and begin to bless the Lord for the release of this fresh oil. Go ahead and bless it. Thank him for the release of fresh oil. Malakasida. My God, I just saw something now. The oil of wealth. Can you stretch forth your hands as if you want to receive something? Because you are going to receive something now. I just saw in a flash the oil of wealth, the anointing to conquer money, the anointing to conquer millions, the anointing to conquer billions. The oil of wealth is being released upon your hands. Liga batuze beke tena magabakude ke branda kapatai. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, just like the psalmist, he said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I prophesy, receive the oil of wealth, the anointing to prosper in your business, in your career, in your job. The works of your hands are blessed. Whatever you set your hands to do shall prosper. Nothing dies in your hands. Nothing fails in your hands. In the name of Jesus. It's a new day for you. Go ahead and appreciate the Lord. Honda Bakatai. A lot of you, we have encounters tonight. The Lord will visit you tonight in visions, in dreams, in revelation. Kalido Bakatia. And it will communicate to you that you receive something in this encounter. Lift up your hands. Begin to appreciate the Lord. Begin to bless his name. It's a new season. Mando Boko Sebelete. Ilabakunda Branda Kapa. It's a new season. No more struggles. No more struggles. By this anointing, struggles are terminated. Whatever was not working begins to work like fire. Whatever was not working is now working. Whatever was not working is now working. Is now working speedily. Is now working like fire. In Jesus' name. And now, if you are in this place, you want a new relationship with Jesus. You want to surrender your life to Christ. You want to accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus has provided. You want to accept the gift of eternal life that Jesus has made available. You want your relationship restored. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. I want to give you this opportunity to receive the miracle of salvation, the greatest miracle. Even if you are following online, just lift up your hands in front of the device you are using. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-2610. 1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.